Okay, this is our fourth lesson into eschatology, part of our series which we have called The True and Living God. This series began with Israel going into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar the king, when Nebuchadnezzar had taken the vessels and taken the children of Israel out under the ministry of Jeremiah. And where they went into captivity. Daniel, as we know, was one of the king's seed, and God chose Daniel to show the plan of the ages. So it's important to understand the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. The book of Daniel, as you know, covers the last part of the Old Testament. It also covers the image that was revealed to Daniel. What was revealed to Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel gave the interpretation of it, which on your notes you will see that image of the head being head of gold, which is Babylon, the arms folded, which is Persian and the Medes, and then the middle part there, Alexander the Great, Macedonia, and the two legs representing Rome. And if you want to get these notes, I suggest that you click on the link on our website that will take you to our sermon audio page. Look up this title, Eschatology 4. You can listen, and you can also read the PDF, which I have those notes up there for you. Now, these lessons are important if you are serious about understanding your Bible. There is no way that these lessons are full of detail, but they should give you enough direction or enough biblical information to show you how this thing works. The first lesson we looked at was the 70 years and Jeremiah's prophecy of the time of captivity, which was in Babylon, and then also referring to what is known as Daniel's 70th week or the 70th weeks, and how to multiply or work that thing out. That's dealing with the latter times. The Daniel 70th week is a period of 7 years broken up into 3.5. I'm sure most of you know that. It is good to understand the image that was shown to Daniel where he interpreted for the king, this Gentile king, which takes us up to the first advent. The prophecy of Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 and 45, of the stone made without hands, could have happened or could have taken place in Acts chapter 7, which we have previously mentioned, and I'll mention this again in this lesson. We also understand that as we come into Daniel again, I want to look at the future prophecies or the connection that connects, say, the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, and some of that is found in Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 8. So while you're with me, I want you to go to Daniel chapter 7, but also I want you to listen to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is important when coming to understand this lesson. And I have mentioned this verse before, but Jesus Christ did say in Matthew 24, verse 15, he said, talking of Daniel's prophecies of not being fulfilled yet, even when he spoke, he said this: "When he therefore shall see the abominations of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand." And the verse he is coming from is Daniel's 70th week, which is found in Daniel 9:27. We have covered that before in the previous lessons, but I want you to keep in your mind as Jesus Christ is talking about something that hasn't happened yet, and he says, "When he therefore shall see the abomination," so this is something we have not seen yet. "Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes." So Jesus Christ is talking of this time, and woe unto them that are with child, and unto them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation. And this period of time is Daniel's 70th week. And he says, and Jesus said it was great tribulation. And I want you to hear the words of your Lord and your Saviour. He said, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, nor ever shall be. And as we go into this lesson, I want you to understand as we move into from Daniel into the book of Revelation, we are dealing with prophecy, and one of the C's to understand prophecy is to consider prophecy. You never understand prophecy till after the event. Understand that God here makes it very clear that this time is a time like none other. There is nothing to compare with it. So even in the time that you and I live right now, don't bother looking too far into the book of Revelation, because what you see there is a time that has never been before nor ever will be like it. What do you mean? Even after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, there will be rebellion, and Satan will be delivered out of that prison that he's been in for 1,000 years. So when we're talking of this period of time, I want you to understand the Bible makes it very clear that there's been no time like it before nor after it. So it is something to realize, we just need to consider. But on saying that, we can understand some things. So let me just pick this up here with Daniel's first vision in Daniel chapter 7. This first vision is now when Belshazzar is the king. So therefore, this vision will not include Babylon. It has more of a connection to a future vision or a like. And he says this, and I want us to, as we connect the two books together, I just want to look at a couple of things here in this first vision that Daniel has given. And so he says, in the first year of Belshazzar king, that's verse 1, of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and the vision of his head upon his bed. And he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. And Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven drove upon a great sea. And the four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. So there's these beasts, and they come up from the sea. And the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. And it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Behold, another beast is a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth, and of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. Now notice this fourth beast, and this is where we will focus mainly on this lesson today. He says, the fourth beast was dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces. Now, this part here definitely represents what Daniel saw Nebuchadnezzar's image of the feet or the last kingdom, which was Rome. And I want to see notice how these tie together. He said, this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. Now iron will break the gold, the silver, and the brass. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. Now I want to make this connection as we thread this through the Word of God, is that we have 10 horns. The 10 horns are also equivalent to the 10 toes on the image of Nebuchadnezzar, and those 10 toes are 10 kings or horns, and there's another little horn that comes up here which is a little king. And it's, the Bible says, when Daniel considered the horns in verse 8, behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, which I'll mention later on in this lesson. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, talking of Jesus Christ, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. So obviously then that the vision that Daniel has here is a time, as we know, of a future event. It is to happen. Now also come over, so it's prophetical. Not only is Daniel has a historical prophecy, it has history, but it also has prophetical, it's prophetical in its nature. Have a look over with me to Daniel chapter 8, and we'll pick it up in verse 17, dealing with the little horn that you mentioned. Now, I understand when you read Daniel 8, and if you compare, if you read Daniel 7 and Daniel 8, the book of Daniel will also give comparison of scripture to what it's talking about. There's the historical mention here of the Persians and Medes and the Alexander the Great and the four nobles that came out of Macedonia, which is historical, as we know. But I want you to understand that also in this there's an historical account. Before the first advent, but there's also here we see a prophetical a vision, you could say, of what will happen later. So let's pick this up in verse 17, and it would be helpful if you were to read Daniel 7 and Daniel 8. But notice here he says, so he came near with where I stood. And when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. So notice here that the book of Daniel here is Daniel is seeing something. And notice the term, the time of the end shall be the vision. And we know that when you look at the term time of the end is not then. It wasn't at the first advent, but it will be at the second advent. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but it touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. And then he goes on, the ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, for four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. Now that is historical. And in the latter times of their kingdom, when the transgressions are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in the hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. And he shall also stand up against the prince of princes. Notice the capital P. So we are now obviously talking prophetically, because the prince, your Messiah, was cut off in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24-26, where we know that Jesus Christ was crucified, and later on he will come back, and he is the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. So, and here we have a prophecy which we'll look at a little bit later on, is that this fierce king is broken off without hand. Obviously, that is also a connection to the stone made without hands, and that when Jesus Christ comes back, he will do just what the Bible says. It's amazing whatever Satan sets up, God can break without hand, just as simple as that. Now, note on your note here, so Jesus spoke of this time, referring to Daniel 9:27, of a time when there's a sacrifice being made, and it wasn't fulfilled when Christ spoke about it, but it will be fulfilled in the time of the Daniel 70th week. Now, I want you to keep in your mind as you study your Bible that when Israel went into captivity and they went into Babylon, they went under a Gentile king. This is known as the time of the Gentiles. Now, this particular period of time begins with Babylon and will not be fulfilled until Jesus Christ returns, second advent. Notice what Jesus Christ said in Luke 21:24, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations," talking of the Jews, "and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Keep in mind that the time of the Gentiles is also dealing when you see the 10 toes of 10 kings. Number 10 in your Bible is always to do with Gentiles. You have 10 toed 10 kings, and the time of the Gentiles will not be fulfilled until second advent. So the image brings us to the first advent, which we looked at, and where the first kingdom that ruled the nation, the nations is Babylon. They ruled the nations, so then became the Persian and Medes, they were subject to the law of the Persians and Medes. In other words, Darius couldn't get Daniel out of the lion's den, and then Cyrus is the one that God, he's the one that gives the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem again. But these kingdoms ruled the nations. I want you to understand that. You and I live in times where we have world powers, but understand, like America might be a world power, but they don't rule the nations. The other one is Alexander the Great. That was Macedonia, and it destroyed the Persians and Medes, and then comes along Rome and the Roman Empire. And of course, when Jesus Christ came, Augustus Caesar was in power, and the Bible says in Luke 2:21, "And it came to pass in those days that went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Notice how Rome is ruler over all the world, and obviously that's understanding for us is that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem because of the taxation given by Augustus there, and we know we won't go into that lesson just at the moment. But over your page here, number two, I want you to realise that the toes represent 10 kings, and they're connected to the feet. Those feet are connected to the Roman Empire. Keep that in mind, that the legs connect to the feet, and then the toes to the feet. And there's 10 toes, and those 10 toes, as we just looked at, represent 10 kings. And the number 10 in your Bible is dealing with the Gentiles, and you and I now live in the time of the Gentiles, and here we have these 10 toes, as we just looked at. And of course, this image is not toppled until the stone made without hands does that. Let me just read you Daniel chapter 2. This is the prophecy of the premillennial reign of Christ. This is the prophecy here. So Daniel 2, and let me go to verse 42. And dealing now, Daniel has given the interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar, and he says in verse 42, "And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and not part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with mire clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay." Now notice, "And in the days of these kings," and notice, "in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall be broken pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, and silver, and the gold, the great God have made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof. Now, as you can see there, we saw the 10 kings, and God will set up a kingdom. Now, as we looked at in our previous lessons to understand the Word of God, that at the first advent, Jesus Christ was cut off by Rome, and the kingdom of heaven was rejected in Acts chapter 7. And we've covered the fact that Jesus Christ was standing after the preaching of Stephen to the Sanhedrin. Jesus was standing in heaven. You could imagine looking up, as Stephen looked up into heaven, he could see the Son of Man ready to return. And yet, right there is that Israel rejected their Messiah. They rejected the kingdom from heaven after they had rejected their Messiah. And let me just read you John chapter, I think it's good to read your Bible, read John chapter 19, because John chapter 19 is dealing with the factors when they gave Jesus Christ to Pilate, when they handed their Messiah over to Rome. And the Bible says in verse 1, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And this is John chapter 19, verse 1. I'll give you time to go there. John 19, verse 1. Acts chapter 7 is the scripture where Christ was ready to return. He's standing, as seen when James, Peter, and John were taken on the Mount Transfiguration, where they saw him transfigured, a picture of the second coming of Christ. Yet we know that the Lord came down from that mountain and headed to Calvary, where he was cut off. And notice that when he was cut off, that the Jews handed their Messiah over to Pilate. Daniel had seen that in Daniel chapter 9. And then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that he may know that I find no fault in him." And we have noticed that Daniel was a type of Christ. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." And of course, this is their king, by the way. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law. By our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Well, he was the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Notice the words of Christ here. Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from heaven." You remember Nebuchadnezzar? He had to learn the same lesson, that the heavens ruled. You remember Nebuchadnezzar was lifted up in pride, and he was taken out into the wilderness there, where he was like a beast, till he finally looked up to heaven and realized that the heavens ruled, amen, and that it was God who put him, that lifted him up. Here Jesus Christ, this is the theme of your Bible, says, "There's no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee have the greater sin." From thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou lettest this man go," If thou lettest this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. And there's Augustus. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Of course, Rome's in power here. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. And they cried out, away with him. Now notice the Jews rejecting their king. But they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Wow. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Wherefore they crucified him and two others with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. Of course, there's John 3:16 at the same time. There we see Jesus Christ being crucified. Daniel's prophesied, concerning the 10 toes connected the feet, which we looked at in Daniel's chapter 7:7, which is connected to Rome, that same kingdom that is mentioned in the image, Rome. There we have Jesus Christ being cut off by Rome, and we have now time now to take this over to the Revelation, where we see that the 10 kings turn up in the book of Revelation chapter 13, and as we read in Daniel chapter 2, and I'll just read you Daniel chapter 2 again and verse 44 before we go to Revelation chapter 13, because this is important to understand the prophecy, because what happens here in Daniel 2, and we'll run down to, say, verse 44, and he says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Now, the kingdom of heaven wasn't set up at first advent, as you know. You remember John and Jesus Christ preached, repent for the kingdom of heaven was at hand, the kingdom of God being at hand. It was at hand, and yet the people rejected it. But notice, though, that the prophecies that in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. And, of course, he'll set up the kingdom by toppling this image. Now, let's come over to Revelation chapter 13, where we will see these 10 kings turn up, which is mentioned there. We will also understand that the 10 kings is a number to do with Gentiles. And now we see the connection here of, we're connecting Daniel, the book of Daniel now, with the book of Revelation, understanding that the Daniel's 70th week didn't take place when it could have after Acts 7. But notice here, and I'll come to that in a moment, notice here, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea having seven heads. Notice it has seven heads, this beast, and 10 horns. There's the kings, 10 of them. And upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast was, which I saw, was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. It looked very similar to the vision that Daniel had in Daniel chapter 7. The leopard and the bear are mentioned. So the vision that Daniel had in chapter 7 was a future vision. It hadn't taken place, but notice the comparison of scripture, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And of course, the dragon is Satan, and we know that Satan has a seat, and that seat has great authority. Now, the kingdom of this world are run by who? Satan, the god of this world. Unless the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them, the god of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not. So here we have this beast, we have these kings, we have the vision that Daniel had in chapter 7, and we know that the last kingdom of that vision was dealing with Rome, as we read, where it had the ten kings attached to it, where we saw the ten toes attached to the image that Daniel had had received from Nebuchadnezzar, or had given the interpretation to. And notice here in verse 4, and they worshipped the dragon. Now the dragon in your Bible is Satan. We know that he was cast out of heaven here in Revelation 12:12. He had a short time, comes down, and notice, and I saw in his head, as it were, a wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. So one of his heads, as it were, wounded. So something's going on there. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him, notice here, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And there we have the 3.5 years, or the second half of the tribulation. So we have now what we can understand as a connection then of the ten kings, ten being a number of Gentile, and it's dealing with the Gentiles. And here we have in Revelation 13 the prophecy of these ten kings. And then after this, God will set up a kingdom made without hands. So the second advent is to fulfill the time of the Gentiles, which we know, which we read, and it's the beginning of the 1,000 premillennial reign of Jesus Christ. Now listen, excuse me, Daniel does not see the valley. So when we look at the book of Daniel, and I have on the chart there, when you understand Daniel prophecies, you can definitely see that he's, Larkin put it, white sees of, excuse me, a peaks of prophecies. He doesn't see the valley. Daniel didn't foresee Israel's rejection of their Messiah in Acts 7. Nor does Daniel see or understand the mysteries that are given or written by Paul. One of those mysteries written by Paul is in Romans 11:25. He says, "For I would not, brethren, that he should be ignorant." So in Romans 11:25, Paul writes of this. He writes of a mystery. Now, once Jesus sat back down in Acts chapter 7, there's a couple of events that take place, and God does a few things that Daniel doesn't see. One of the things he doesn't see or understand is one of the first mysteries. If you want to find out the seven mysteries, go to our website on. Under study page, you'll find a page there which I've listed the seven mysteries which Paul wrote. Understand that the book of Daniel's peaks of prophecy. He sees Christ's return. He doesn't see or doesn't he doesn't mention their rejection. Daniel does reveal Daniel's 70th week in Daniel 9 verse 27. He also revealed the Messiah being cut off, where we just read. So Daniel's prophecy sees those things, but he doesn't see the valley. He doesn't see the mysteries that are written. As we looked at last time, it could have been quite possible that Daniel's 70th week could have been fulfilled after Acts 7. We won't go through that study at the moment. But I want you to understand, so right up to this point of time, Acts 7, we'll take it from there, God does a couple of things. One of the mysteries is found in Romans 11:25. And I want you to listen to this mystery. "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." So here we see that Israel is blind. There's a mystery of blindness here, and this blindness, you could say, won't be taken away or until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now those ten kings that you just saw on the beast, which I'll mention in a moment, Gentile kings. And the return of Christ brings an end to the time of the Gentiles. So I want you to understand the nation Israel are in blindness until this time. The second thing I want you to know in your Bible that because of their blindness, in Romans 11:20, Paul also reveals God grafting in the unnatural branch into the natural. And of course, we're grafted in. This is the church or the body of Christ, which I'll mention. And so here we see another thing that God does. He says, well, because of unbelief, that's the Jews, they were broken off. So they have been cut off, just as Messiah was cut off. And thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. So what Paul is saying, if God can cut off the natural branch, he can also cut off the unnatural. But in Romans 11, we find that we are grafted in Romans 11, verse 23, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So there will be a time again that God will take his dealings up again with the nation Israel, and they will be grafted back in. But at this period of time, they're not, and yet you and I are. And during this time, Paul is given the mystery that had been hid from the ages. Now, and so Paul is given revelations, and one of the mysteries that were hid from the ages, understanding that Daniel didn't know these, and this is the mystery found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 to 27. And most of you who are hearing my voice should know this, that Christ in us, the hope of glory. Notice he said, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now that's a mystery. Now, one other thing happens after Acts 7, you see the manifestation of what we know, or what Paul calls the body of Christ, the mystery of the body of Christ, and that is manifest, and I'll go through this manifestation of this because we know that both Jew and Gentile now, after the nations cut off, we are to each individual believer is baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Jew gets in the same way as the Gentile does, and God puts us into an unseen body, which is called the body of Christ. Yet that body is manifest, and 1 Corinthians 12:13 is the verse where I've mentioned a lot how that God puts us into the body of Christ, where he's in us and we're in him, amen. And after Acts 7, Jesus sits back down. You could say maybe the mystery of blindness to Israel began there. It might have happened before that, but we definitely see that the manifestation of the body of Christ is seen, which would have more than likely taken place at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in Acts 8, you have the Ethiopian eunuch who comes along, a picture of Ham. And then you have in Acts 9, a Jew gets in, which is Saul, who becomes Paul. He gets in. And then finally, Cornelius, a Gentile, in Acts chapter 10. So God puts each believer in Christ, the body of Christ. The body of Christ is unseen, it's unknown to Daniel, so the prophecies of Daniel do not cover this period. But I want everyone to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, and I want to pick this important part up, understanding the scriptures. You understand with me for a moment that blindness in parts happened to the nation Israel. That blindness upon them will happen until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Well, we do know that the individual Jew or a Gentile can get in the same way, and God puts us into the church, which is called the body of Christ. But until then, come over to 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 12. I do have it on your notes. And I want you to consider this for a moment as we look at Scripture, and this will come back. We'll get back to Revelation in a moment. But I want you to consider this, because seeing then that we have such a hope, We use great plainness of speech. This is Paul speaking. Of course, Paul's given a revelation to the church, and not as Moses, so which put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Notice there was a veil. They couldn't see to the end. But their minds were blinded for until this day. Now notice, I want you to keep in mind, until this day, even as you read this, until this day, we're not in that day, we're in this day, remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So in other words, if the individual Jew doesn't get in by the way of salvation that's offered to him now, there's a veil on his heart. And yet if he gets in Christ, like you and I get into the church, get into the body of Christ, God removes that veil from our heart. What do you mean, Brother Simon? Well, the veil then shows us the end times, or we can see to the end. Notice the Jews can't. They've got a veil on their heart. A veil is something that covers. You can't see. Notice he goes on, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon where? The heart. So the Jew cannot see the New Testament concealed, say, in the Old Testament. The Jew cannot recognize the New Testament at all. There's a veil on their heart. Does that make sense? Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, what will turn to the Lord? Their heart, okay? Whether it's the individual or whether it's a nation. But nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So there's a thought here I want us, as we're looking at the book of Daniel, because the 70 years of captivity were the Jews, the 70 weeks and the 70th week to be accomplished is to deal with the Jews. It's not dealing with... It's a period of time that also God made known of the first advent. Daniel is also the visions of the second advent, as which we'll look at in a moment. But I want you to consider this, that Israel are blinded. There's a veil on their heart unless they turn to the Lord. And in Hosea, and this is a consideration only, in Hosea, it would be a prophecy of them wanting to return. And the Bible says in Hosea 6:1-3, so this is Israel returning. So they rejected their Messiah when he was cut off. They rejected their Messiah when Stephen preached to the Sanhedrin and Christ was standing to return. And then blindness was, say, imparted to them until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. We know the manifestation of the body of Christ, which is revealed to Paul, is made known and seen. But I want you to consider this if you study your Bible and prophecy of Hosea. And Hosea said this. He said in Hosea 6:1, verse 3, come and let us return unto the Lord. So they say, let us return, for he have torn and he will heal us. He have smitten and he will bind us up. Very good idea to return to the Lord, amen. After 2 days will he receive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his, notice, sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and the day of the Lord begins in darkness, and you have morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Now the rain and latter rain is always conferring to the second advent. And if you take this prophecy as prophetical, then the 2 days is the 2,000 years of the church age. And then in the third day, which is them returning to the Lord, unto the latter time. Now, obviously, then we're going to see that the Jews have returned, because they have returned in the only way they know, and they will probably more than likely to return under the Mosaic law, because they don't see the New Testament. I believe that's why Jesus said, when you see the desolation or the sacrifice being where he mentioned there in Matthew chapter, where he mentioned there in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. Let me just read it for you. Let me just read this for you quickly, because it's important to note this in what Christ is talking about, because he says of a future event, he's referring to Daniel 9:27, and he says, when he therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. What the Lord was talking about is the daily sacrifice is ceased. There's an abomination that happens there. So if we consider then that you have Israel returning, probably going back under the Mosaic law, they don't know any other way. More than likely, it seems as though the sacrifice might be, and I say this considerable, but there's another consideration, is that the temple's rebuilt, which we'll look at. But also understand that the church age ends with the mystery of the rapture of the church, which Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. What happens is that Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not sleep, but shall be changed. We know that. So the suggestion is they will return, yet still with the veil on their heart concerning Christ, and return by going back under the Mosaic law. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, this is what they did in the Old Testament. It's not God putting them back under the law. This is them returning the only way they know. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. It appears the temple is rebuilt. Come over to 2 Thessalonians with me to chapter 2. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 mentions the little horn, mentions what we'll look at in a moment. Paul writes, and he writes to, talking to the Thessalonians who were under tribulation at that time. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. That man has sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Notice that he talks about this man being revealed. Then he says in verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped. And if you read Daniel 8, you will find that correspondence. So that he as God, notice, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remembering not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So it seems as though there's a sacrifice they're sacrificing, the temple's rebuilt. Now, whether it's exactly how we think, that's another story. I'm just showing you here that this seems to be what's taking place. And now we know what withholdeth that he might be revealed, notice the word, in his time. Who? The son of perdition, which we'll look at in a little while. For the mystery, here's the other mystery, of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let it until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Notice, cut off without hands. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness. Excuse me, we're going to look at this in Revelation 13. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, and that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. So I want to take now that passage, and we're going to go back to Revelation chapter 13 for a moment. But I want you to keep in mind that maybe the Jews return, they may go back under a Mosaic law, they may come back. They may try to return to the Lord the only way they know. They may rebuild the temple. They may take up the sacrifice again. But it's very obvious in one thing that the son of perdition, which we'll look at, this man of sin, will want to sit in this temple to show that he is God and that he is God. Well, now let's come back with me. Let's come back here for a moment to where I was on your notes, that we have come back to Revelation 13. I'll just take a little moment for a breath of fresh air here. Come back to Revelation 13, 1 to 9. And I'm going to tie this back to Daniel. And hopefully you can remember some of the things that I've just mentioned. Of course, the church is known as the bride of Christ. Amen. We're part of the body of Christ. God will come back and take out his bride. We'll meet the Lord in the air. Amen. And this is something that Daniel didn't see. And then we move then into more than likely the Daniel 70th week. And we move into this period of time where we have the 10 kings which we've mentioned. And let's start to put a little bit of light on this period of time. So let me read you from verse 1 again in Revelation 13. And we'll tie these two books together. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Notice, in having 7 heads and 10 horns. Upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, which we read, which was Daniel chapter 7. And in verse 3, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. I suppose you could almost say it, some type of a resurrection maybe. And they worshipped the dragon, and we know the dragon Satan, which gave power unto the beast. Remember that the God of this world asked Jesus Christ in the wilderness to bow down to worship him, and that he would give Christ the kingdoms of this world, where the Lord was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And that's the dragon then gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? So this beast is a man. This beast carries, which we'll look at a moment, carries this these 10 kings and carries this thing, which we'll look at in a moment. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and powers given unto him to continue 40 months. We saw there in 2 Thessalonians, Satan sitting on the throne, speaking great things. He opened his mouth and blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle that dwell in heaven. So this man is blaspheming those in heaven. The Bible does say for us to be simple concerning evil, okay? I don't want us to get too far into all of this. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Power is given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Notice that. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Make a note there. These are not believers that are worshipping Satan. And if any man have an ear, let him hear. And then he goes on, which I'll come back to in a moment. So when you study a Bible, we need to use the 4 C's of studying, and one of those C's is comparison of Scripture, comparing Scripture with Scripture. The other one, obviously, is context, conversation, and consideration. So while we're in the book of Revelation, we're considering. That's all we're doing, consideration. But there is a way to find out a little bit maybe what this beast is, notice in verse 1, this beast has the 10 kings, but also it has 7 heads. So it has 7 heads. So let's do a little bit of comparison here. Go over to Revelation 17 with me, Revelation 17. And in Revelation 17, and come down to verse 7, Revelation 7, verse 7. Notice the Bible says, "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel?" And this is John who wrote the book of Revelation. "I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which had the 7 heads and 10 what? Horns." So here's the interpretation to Revelation 13:1. So here's this woman of the beast that carrieth her, and which had 7 heads and 10 horns. "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and it shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition." Remember in 2 Thessalonians that Satan is called the son of perdition. "And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and is yet. And here is the mind which have wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth." Now, Rome is known as the city of 7 hills. So it seems as though you have Rome connected to 10 kings, and it's been held up by this beast or this man who is empowered, or it's empowered by Satan. We know that the devil's realm is religion, and the 10 horns or the 10 kings are always connected to the fourth kingdom, which is Rome. So it's not of any great significance to say that this is not Rome, which is another mystery here, which we'll look at, and these 7 heads are dealing with mountains, so it seems to be talking of a location, and it talks about this woman sitteth. So this is her location. We know Satan has a seat. This could be Satan's seat as well, and there are 7 kings. 5 have fallen. And one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. So here we have a number 8, which I'll look at a little bit later. "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition." Now, I will show you that out of the 10, 3 are subdued, which leave 8. Come to that in a moment. "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And these have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." So here we have, in the days of these kings, God sets up a kingdom made without hands. Here is the Lord of lords and King of kings who overcomes them, which is in comparison, say, to 2 Thessalonians, which we just read. So here we have this mystery here in verse 5. Notice in verse 5 of the same chapter, this woman is called Mystery Babylon. So here's another one of the mysteries. The great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. We find out later that that she is destroyed by the 10 kings. So we have 10 Gentile kings connected to Rome, which is given power by the dragon. This man that speaks great blasphemies, which is mentioned there in Revelation 13:5, "And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 and 40 months." We also know that he is the 8th out of the 10, which we'll look at in a moment. And he speaks blasphemies here, and is mentioned in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, as the little horn. And if we go back to the book of Daniel, And this is where this ties in. So in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 8, where Daniel considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. Here's a little horn, comes up, and he's going to be revealed in his time. He comes up with these other 10 kings before whom there were three of the first horns. By the way, in 2 Thessalonians, the Bible says that this little horn will be revealed in his time. In other words, he will be revealed in this time of the 10 kings. Don't bother looking for this man now. He won't be revealed until Daniel's 70th week. And the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in his horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. So here we see this little horn appears with the ten, and is overthrown by the Ancient of Days, which we've just read. This little horn is also known as the Son of Perdition. He's also known as Satan. He empowers this woman who has a location, and who has the ten kings attached to it. It's a satanic religion that appears, you could say. And here this man speak of great things. His desire is to sit on the throne. And obviously the temple's been rebuilt. Maybe the Jews have returned to continue the sacrifice. And he steps in and he removes that sacrifice, which is probably more to mention there by Jesus Christ out of the book of Matthew chapter 24. So here we have, so there's Mystery Babylon that's connected here. Now, also we have a look in Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8 concerning the same connection here. Daniel chapter 8. Let's pick this up in verse, say, 11. Talking once again prophetically. Yea, he magnify himself even to the prince of the host. And by him, the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And just while you're there, I'll read you Daniel 9, verse 27, which is Daniel 70th week. I hope this is all making somewhat sense to you. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, and he is the unjust judge of Luke chapter 18, where there's a covenant made with Israel, and this thing is overthrown in the middle of the week, which is the 42 months. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice, notice, and the oblation to cease. That's what Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 24. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So here we have this thing here mentioned again in chapter 8, where the sacrifice is taken away. And verse 12, and a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. A host is always dealing with something maybe from heaven, or a unclean spirit or principalities and powers. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. And I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto a certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days shall the sanctuary, be cleansed. So here we have these things sort of tying together a little bit. Don't ask me what this really looks like. But we can see that this beast carried Rome, which we read. He's called the Son of Perdition. He speaks great blasphemies against heaven. And he does those things. He will be revealed in his time, which we read. And in Revelation 13, verse 8, they that worship him, and I want you to understand this, they are not believers because they're not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're not there. And secondly, we also know that in 2 Thessalonians that God would send them strong delusion that they would believe a lie, and this will be the second beast. So we looked at the first beast, which is ten Gentile kings connected to Rome, powered by Satan, you could say, Revelation 17, and come over now down to, say, Revelation 13. If we come down to Revelation 13 and come down to, where are we? Verse 11, and behold, another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused of the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he make fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. This is probably the strong delusion that God sends, that they would believe a lie, by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Of course, we know Jesus Christ did the miracles, so this is a false Christ or a false, it's a counterfeit, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live, just as Nebuchadnezzar made an image. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that same as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So just as Nebuchadnezzar, where the free Hebrew children ended up in the fiery furnace, same happens here. And he caused of all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and on their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Herein is the wisdom. Let him understand, count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and the number is 600, 66. So here we have a strong delusion, and this is the false prophet. By the way, the first beast hasn't come yet, and neither has the second beast. So don't worry about 666 and start running over there to Revelation 13. Just because you and I think we're into some sort of hard times at the moment, and we run over into the book of Revelation, understand that Jesus Christ said that this time there's been no other time like it, nor any other time before it. It is absolutely ridiculous for the believer to think somehow that you and I are in the tribulation, and that somehow the first beast has risen, and the false prophet here has come to deceive the world, and that Satan is sitting in a temple calling out to God that he is God, and blaspheming those that are in heaven and the temple that's in heaven. Amen. So let's just get this thing in our minds very clearly, that you and I are believers, and you and I are put in Jesus Christ, into the body of Christ, Christ in you. Amen. You need salvation, because that God is going to come down. He's going to take his bride. He's going to take us out before any of this takes place. Amen. Before Satan is revealed as this man of sin, and goes about to deceive the world, who goes about to destroy the saints, which we might look at this particular point of time. But understand, we're dealing with a period of time mentioned by Daniel, connected to the book of Revelation, mentioned by the Lord, of something that hasn't happened yet. Aren't you thankful you're saved? Amen. And we're not in that period of time. Now, come over with me to the Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, and I want you to see something here about this beast and the false prophet. The first beast being, say, Rome, empowered by Satan. You have a counterfeit here of a resurrection. You have then the second beast is also empowered by Satan. He can perform miracles. We know that those that do worship this beast aren't believers. They're not written in the Lamb's Book of Life by men. They've been sent a strong delusion. They believe a lie. They believe the counterfeit miracles, and they end up worshiping this. They end up worshiping this beast, and if they don't take the mark, they can't eat or anything of like that. So in Revelation 19 verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles. So here we have the first man and the second man before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. They both, notice this, were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So the first beast that upholds these 10 kings is a man. Amen? And I reckon he's Satan incarnate. The second beast is a false prophet. And he also is of the first beast, if you could say that way. And they both cast into the lake of fire. Then in Revelation 20:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You say, Brother Simon, do you understand how this works? I have no idea. It's satanic. It's evil. Do you understand how the system works? No. But I do know and understand it's connected to the 10 kings, which is the time of the Gentiles. And Revelation 20 verse 14, and the deaf in hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So these people are not only deceived, yet they also end up in the lake of fire because their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. So let me just follow this on a little bit for you to close here. The little horn is called the eighth. So he appears with the 10 kings in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8 to verse 24. The little horn is also called the son of perdition, as mentioned in Revelation 17, 8 to 11. He is also mentioned in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, and he is revealed in his time. That time seems to correlate with the time of these 10 kings, which are connected to the feet, which are connected to Rome, as we saw in the first image, Daniel chapter 2, and also as we see his vision that he had in Daniel chapter 7. So that's where they're connected. He appears to be Satan incarnate and gives power to the false prophet. Number 5, he is the unjust judge of Luke chapter 18, 1-5. This is where Israel comes, where there's a covenant made of peace between the nation, and in the middle of that 70th week, that covenant is broken and the daily sacrifice has been taken away. And we have a revelation then of Satan sitting on the throne. We know that will come to an end when Jesus Christ returns. I'm not trying to fill in all the book of Revelation here of the vials and all the other things that are connected with it. This is an overall view from Daniel to Revelation, so you can connect it. But in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, I think this is where it's important to understand. We looked at what Jesus said about Daniel's 70th week, but he also says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43, Matthew 12 verse 43, I'll read you this, see if it sounds familiar to you. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43, he says this, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I'll return into my house from whence I came out. When he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Then he goeth, he taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first, even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. It appears that that when the little horn, if you read your Bible, you'll notice that he subdues three kings, he ends up becoming the eighth. Well, Christ says, he talks about an unclean spirit going out, getting seven, and coming back, which would make eight. So here we are looking at an unclean spirit as well, dealing with the book of Revelation. It's an unclean spirit dealing with the first and second beast, and it is known as the mystery of iniquity. Also, it is dealing with the mystery of Babylon, and those mysteries there. If you understand those seven mysteries, you might have a better understanding of what I'm talking about. This period of time is like none other, and I think there's a sad thing today that most preachers and teachers nowadays do not consent to the wholesome words of Christ. The Lord said there was no other time like it, nor ever will be. And he said that in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. And so therefore there is no other time to be compared with this period of time. The church age has been here for 2,000 years. It's not a time like the Second or First World War. The other atrocities like the Fox's Book of Martyrs, there's no other time to be compared with it. So therefore, it would be wise to also say that as we read the first and second beast, we really can't compare to it. We have no real clear understanding, because prophecy is always understood after the event. And Jesus Christ made it very clear that there's been no other time before it nor after it. But the average Bible teacher always falls short of Scripture. Never looks at the Bible, what it teaches. And when Paul spoke to Timothy, he said this. He said in 1 Timothy 6:3, "If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness." It is important to listen to what the Lord said. You remember the disciples came to Jesus and they said to him, "When shall I restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus said, "Neither the times nor seasons are given to you, but are my Father's hands." So I want us to, as we've gone through a rather lengthy lesson here, a lot of scripture. I've talked a lot. I hope that it makes some sense to you. If it doesn't, please contact me. I can fill in the blanks and make it a little bit more clear in understanding. But I want you to understand the two books of the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation are connected by the ten toes. They are connected to the time of the Gentiles. And there's a time where it seems Mystery Babylon appears, and it appears as it's Rome again. It appears that it is Satan's masterpiece, and it's a time where people are deceived, and you then have, at the end of that period, the time of the Gentiles are finished with the stone which is made without hands. Father, thank you for this time. I ask that you would bless it and use it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.